Our sermon text for this evening is based on Luke chapter 23. On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. This is the word of the Lord. If you had your choice of going and doing something within about a day's drive from church, what would you do? Would you go to the lake, go on a hike, maybe catch a ball game, visit a museum? Would you sit and stare at a box or a screen with moving pictures? It's ironic that a people with so much freedom and such wealth spend so much time just staring at screens. It's ironic how much value we put on entertainment in America. But it's nothing new that people with wealth and the freedom of time spend a lot of their time trying to be entertained. This afternoon, we're going to continue in this Lenten series of the ironies of the Passion. Today, we're going to see that Herod Antipas, though he was a ruler and had great wealth, he had the freedom and time to do whatever he wanted. He wanted to see Jesus. Luke tells us about Herod. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some sort of sign or miracle. See, Herod had heard about Jesus. He had heard about this man who crowds flock to. He heard about a man who would go and talk with prostitutes and tax collectors, call them to repentance and assure them that they were forgiven for all of their sins. He heard about Jesus who, even when he was a young boy, impressed the rulers, the Jewish leaders in the temple of his vast knowledge of the scriptures. Herod had been wanting to see Jesus. He knew he was a great man and he wanted to see him perform some sort of sign or miracle. Now, before we go on, I should clarify, the Herod we're talking about is not the same Herod as when Jesus was first born. He's not the Herod that the wise man came to. He's not the Herod that issued the decree that all the children in Bethlehem should be killed, hoping that he would catch and kill Jesus. That Herod was long dead. This was his son, Herod Antipas. Now, Herod had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Jerusalem was in his jurisdiction. It was in the area that he controlled. And when Pontius Pilate was brought the prisoner Jesus, he didn't really want to deal with Jesus. Pontius Pilate knew that Jesus was kind of a hot-button topic, so he decided to send him over to Herod because Jesus was really under his jurisdiction anyways. Now, when Herod received Jesus, he was very excited. He hoped that this man would be able to perform for him some sort of sign or miracle. He wasn't hoping that Jesus would tell him about the forgiveness of sins. Ironic that a man who was sinful, a man who wasn't very nice, who could have benefited from hearing Jesus' words, only wanted some sign or miracle. And you might be wondering, why is Herod Antipas not a nice man? Why is he a sinful man? Well, a few years before this night that Jesus was on trial, Herod, who was already married, decided that he wanted a second wife. So he took his niece and married her, his niece who was already married to his younger brother. Well, when John the Baptist found out about that, he called Herod out on it. He called him out on that adultery. Herod didn't really like that. So he put John into prison and later had him executed. Herod liked John the Baptist, though. He actually found him pretty entertaining. He enjoyed listening to him talk, even though he didn't understand what he was preaching about. So why would Herod have killed John the Baptist if he enjoyed listening to him? Herod's new wife hated John the Baptist. She tricked Herod into beheading him. And right at that time, Jesus was really starting to gain in popularity. So Herod, being the superstitious man that he was, assumed that this new Jesus was John the Baptist back from the dead. That's why he was so excited this night. He was so excited because he thought this Jesus was John the Baptist, that guy he enjoyed listening to, a man who now apparently could even bring himself back from the dead. Herod thought he might get a good night of entertainment of having Jesus stand there in front of him. How ironic that a man who was sinful, a man who could have benefited from hearing Jesus' words of forgiveness, only wanted him to stand there and do some cheap magic tricks. But Jesus, the Son of God, was standing there right in front of him. God Almighty, all the power and glory of God, was standing right in front of Herod as a man, but he totally missed it. Jesus was standing in front of him on trial, beaten and bloody. Beaten and bloody because in a few hours he would go to the cross to pay for Herod's sins. But Herod didn't care about any of that. And yet God had come. And God has come. Have you seen him tonight? Are you satisfied with hearing about him in his word? Are you satisfied with hearing about the greatest miracle of all time? That the Son of God would pay for our sins? Or as all of us sit here in church, do we wish it was maybe a little more entertaining? Do we wish that we could get a little bit something more out of this lesson that we hear over and over again? It's true that it takes discipline to pay attention in church. And it takes a commitment on our part to study God's Word, to grow in it, to put the effort in to come to church or go to Bible study. It takes effort to read our Bible and remember what God says about forgiveness, about sins and about heaven, and to avoid what our sinful nature in the world passes off as spirituality. You know, we have so much time, so much wealth, and so much freedom in what we choose to spend our time doing. Do we fill that time with entertainment? Is that really all we want? Are we ourselves turning into mini Herods? We have no defense when we come to the realization, when we're confronted with the fact that we wish that sometimes church or the time that we put in studying the Bible was a little bit more entertaining. We have no excuse for zoning out in church, for getting bored or restless. We have no defense from not wanting to put more time into studying God's Word, to putting Jesus, our Savior, right in front of us and listening to all the wonderful things that he's done for us, that he promises us. We have no defense, and we will have no defense on Judgment Day. If God would look at us and recount all of our sins, all those sins would condemn us straight to hell. But you know, on Judgment Day, God isn't going to look at a single one of our sins. On Judgment Day, God is going to look at each and every one of us and see us as having been perfectly committed to studying, listening to, and living God's Word. He's going to see all of us as perfect because of Jesus. Because Jesus has taken all of our sins away. The Son of God came down in flesh, and he put himself on the cross for all of us. Jesus, who stood in front of Herod, who didn't care about him, who didn't see any value in the words that he could have said. Herod's sins were forgiven on that cross. And if Herod's sins were forgiven, your sins and my sins were forgiven too. You know, one of the ironies about the entertainment culture that we live in is that we often put such mindless things in front of the really important things in our life. That had happened to Herod that night. Herod's sin had caused him to put entertainment ahead of seeing the gift that God had put right in front of him. Herod, who had been wanting to see Jesus, only wanted to see him for entertainment. And yet God wanted to show him the Savior of the world. Luke says, Herod plied with him many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. In ancient times, if you remember, kings often had a wise man or some wise men sitting in their courts to whom they'd pose many questions and hope that they would get satisfying answers. Herod was treating Jesus like one of those wise men. He asked him a whole bunch of questions and just wanted to see what Jesus would say. But Jesus was silent. And then the chief priests, they started chiming in. They started accusing Jesus. But Jesus gave no answer. He sat there silent. And as time went on, Herod, just like a brat, a spoiled little brat, he started to mock Jesus. He mocked him, called out to him, called him names. Finally, he dressed him in a royal robe and mocked, worshipped him. And then he sent him away back to Pontius Pilate. Not having heard any of the wonderful words that Jesus could have told him. You know, Jesus didn't have to stay silent that night. Jesus could have mounted a perfect defense about how perfect he was. He was completely innocent. He was completely innocent before God and surely completely innocent before any human court or worldly court. And yet Jesus didn't say anything. Before Herod, before Pontius Pilate, Jesus was perfectly silent. He was silent so he could go to the cross, so he could suffer and die for all of our sins. And the sad thing is that Herod and Pilate, they both thought this night ended pretty well. If you remember from the reading, it said that before this, the two men had been enemies. Their territories kind of overlapped, and as two political men, they were sort of adversaries, but Pontius Pilate was kind of scratching Herod's back by allowing Jesus to go and talk with him, and Herod was pretty pleased because he'd been hoping to see one of those great little miracles that Jesus could perform. That's all those two men got out of this evening. A great little political partnership that might last for a few years. When the Son of God, sent to take away the sins of the whole world, was standing right in front of them. But that can happen to us too. You ever come to church and you feel like the greatest thing you got out of the evening was getting to see some of your friends? Or do you ever wish that maybe church was more about friendship? Do you ever think that those relationships are kind of what it's all about? I'm not saying it's wrong that we should love one another as Christians, but really, if you left here and the only relationship that was strengthened was your relationship with your Savior Jesus, isn't that worth it? Of course it is. That relationship is worth everything because Jesus stood in our place. He was mocked, beaten, bloodied, and sent to the cross to suffer and die for all of our sins. Our sins. Herod's sins. And knowing that, that's what gives us the love that we have for one another. That's at the heart of our fellowship. Hearing that forgiveness gives us joy. More joy than anything we could ever find to fill our time with. A joy that will last forever. You know, as Americans, we have great freedoms. As Americans, we have great wealth. There's a greater freedom than the time to find something to entertain ourselves with. There's a greater wealth than money. There's freedom from sin, from guilt, from the devil. There's a wealth waiting for us in heaven. There's the wealth that knowing the love of God and the joy that that puts in our hearts, the peace that we have because of that. So what will you do with that wealth? On our own, we would only spoil it. On our own, we'd be weak. On our own, we couldn't be perfect. But God is with us. He stands by us. We are not on our own. He's given us faith. He loves us. He's given us the gospel, the greatest treasure we could ever hope for. And he gives that to us here. So come here. Hear his word. Hear that you are forgiven. Amen.